glad you're here. Delicious Rita, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Welcome to Mark and Friends for Thursday, October 12th, 2023. I'm your host, Donna Leland. We visit again with Heather Holloman, the author of The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting Again in an Age of Isolation and Incivility. Well, Heather, we barely scratched the surface last time, didn't we? Now, let's get into the meat of it. Let's go over those six conversations.
Yes, and this is so easy. A kindergartner can learn it, and I've, you know, taught very young people how to do this. And it's just looking at people and remembering that they have six dimensions of what it means to be human, about them, the ways God made them. And instead of asking the classic question, how are you, you actually have six categories to ask really loving questions rooted in curiosity. So every person you meet is social. They have friends, including animal friends. Young people love to talk about animal friends. They're social. They're emotional. So you can ask, how are you doing? But R is such a weak existential verb. Ask about other emotions. You know, hey, what surprised you about your week? What's challenged you about your week? You can ask physical questions. That's about your physical body and physical spaces. So when I see someone, I might not say, how are you? I'll say, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. You know, how has your knee pain been? Or how have you been sleeping? Or tell me about home improvement projects, or have you been to any good restaurants lately? So the physical category is all about the body and physical spaces. The cognitive category, everyone thinks about things. And so to ask someone, what have you been thinking about lately, is really a great question. Like, hey, what's been on your mind? And that's a wonderful way to start conversations sometimes. The last two categories are delightful because volitional, that is a fancy word for human decision-making. Human volition or agency. I know those are, you know, bigger words, but it just means that everyone's making choices about things. And to ask people, hey, I heard you went on vacation. How did you guys decide to go to Maine? Or I saw that you're doing this at work. How did you decide to do that? That's a great category of human conversation. And then the last category is spiritual. And don't forget how much people love to talk about their spiritual lives. It's a myth in the culture that people don't like talking about God. They really do. Ask people like, hey, do you have any spiritual rituals that are working for you? Or, you know I'm a Christian. What are your spiritual practices? So you can start conversation in any one of the six categories, and then you have endless combinations of questions to ask. So you'll never get stuck. And there are pathways for connecting, and you can find out what people like to talk about pretty quickly as you move down that list.
That's great. Now, you talk about a default conversation style. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's sort of like I had Gary Chapman write the foreword to this book. He wrote The Five Love Languages, because conversation can be a love language, and sometimes we get stuck just talking about the same thing. So, for example, I love the cognitive category. And I love talking about ideas and about what are you thinking about. I mean, Donna, I read grammar textbooks for fun. I'm very academic. But that's exhausting for people. My husband doesn't like that category of conversation. So I like to move into things that he likes to talk about. He loves to talk about physical processes, you know, what he's doing in the woodworking shop or his different work systems. And so I was at an event last week having a really hard time making a warm connection with someone because I was talking all about ideas and books. And I noticed, obviously, this person was wearing his favorite sports team hat. And I just started asking really good questions about how he got interested in football. What was the first team he ever loved? I mean, he could not stop talking about football. I found the right category of conversation. And I really enjoyed talking about, I learned so much from him. I got excited. He knew so much. So that's what I mean about getting, you know, breaking out of your default conversational style and noticing what other people like to talk about.
And that's one of the way that we can discover what other people want to talk about. Give us some more tips and tricks.
Yes. Like I was trying to make a warm connection in a work situation that was kind of high stakes. You know, I was sort of doing a salary negotiation, and I'm trying to have this warm connection with this highly technical, you know, engineering mind, a high-level leader. And I remember asking, how has your semester been challenging? And he was like, okay, one-word answer. you know, I asked about, you know, have you had a lot of social time? You know, I asked a social question, one word answer, Donna. I was failing at every single question. And then it was on a Zoom call and I realized that he had a lot of land behind him. I was looking out the window and all I said was to him, I thought to myself, I'm going to ask a physical question. So I said, I noticed you have a lot of land behind you. Are you a gardener?
Mm.
30 minutes later, my husband and I had an invitation to the cidery with him because we talked about his heirloom, you know, apple trees and all the flowers. And once you ask that first question, stay in the category. So he loves talking about his garden, physical things. So I said, tell me about your heirloom flowers. You can then ask a volitional question. How did you decide to move in the direction of flower gardening instead of vegetables? You know, how long have you been a gardener? You know, what are you feeling about this hot weather? Is it messing up your harvest? You will go on. And it was wonderful because then he said, what about you? What do you and your husband do in your garden? It was one of the best conversations. And now this person's a great friend. And it was about going down that list and thinking, okay, what category do people like to talk about?
That's such a great thing. And just keep your eyes open, notice, be aware. Let's talk about what you call the three fresh goals for a loving conversation.
Yes. Okay. This is so wonderful because, again, the social science is finally catching up to the Bible. In any conversation, if you want to have a warm connection with someone, you've got your four mindsets, you've got your six pathways, but where should a conversation end? Now, most people don't know how to end a conversation, and often, as we've seen in the last 5 years, it can often end in controversy, frustration, criticism, you know, sometimes gossip. Well, the research shows that you can do three things that end a wonderful conversation. You can encourage people, so say something encouraging. You can help them with whatever personal goal they've shared, or as you ask them about their major stressors, you can help them, offer to be of assistance in whatever they're trying to do with their life. And the last one really delighted me. It's about marveling, that great conversations, you can have a warm and loving connection with someone if you end in what's called a state of awe. And the research study was so interesting. I read they took lonely, isolated, older adults, paired them together, and sent them out on what's called an awe walk in nature. They were supposed to marvel over things they saw in nature. Well, the participants came back and reported less loneliness, less anxiety, less depression. They were so happy because they were marveling. Now, Scripture talks about, you know, making music in your heart to the Lord, speaking to one another in psalms and spiritual hymns. And think about other verses that we're supposed to build each other up, spur one another on towards love and good deeds. And the most convicting passage is where we're told, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs. So think about ending your conversation today with encouragement, helping people with their goals, or leading to a state of marveling. And usually for me, that's pointing out divine activity or looking at something cool in nature.
That's such a good word. To get their thoughts off of the here and now, get them off of their own pain, their own isolation, their own issues, and start letting them see, wow, we do live in an amazing world, and our Creator has done some really great stuff. Now, you end your book with a chapter. It's called The Greatest Conversation About God's Questions. This is all from the book of Genesis. Tell us what you discovered there and why having a conversation with God matters for how we relate to others.
Well, what I love about the six conversations, as I did all the research and I thought about God, is he's just such a God of such loving conversation. And think about the questions that Jesus asks. And I was rereading the New Testament and all the great questions recorded in the gospel. But then I went back to the book of Genesis and I thought, well, okay, God is in such loving community from the very beginning, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, what kind of questions is God asking us in the book of Genesis? And what I loved was the three questions that you see are, you know, Eve has just eaten the forbidden fruit, and the questions are, where are you? Who told you you were naked? And what is this that you have done? And in my heart, I thought, man, those are the questions that the culture needs to answer. Where are you? Like, meaning, where are you in relation to God? Where are you? You know, who told you you were naked. For me, that's a question that's like, who told you things about yourself? Who are you authorizing to tell you about your identity or who you are? And then the last question is, what is this you've done? And it's really pointing to sin and our need for a savior, this holy, righteous God. And then God asking, you know, what have you done? It's this acknowledgement in my heart every day, like, okay, God, I know I need forgiveness of sin. I know I need cleansing. So I love those three questions and how right from the very beginning, God asks questions in order to restore us back to him so then we can connect with Jesus every day in loving conversation. We're told that we have access to the Father. We can approach the throne of grace with confidence to find help in our time of need. So we can have conversations with God every day because of Jesus.
You know, when I was teaching my kids, we came across some really interesting documentation of the way you get people to think is by asking a question. I mean, it really does start all the little synapses to snap because they have to think. They have to go over and see what they think and what do they think about this and that. And it gets people thinking. And I'm wondering, we're not asking each other questions anymore. We're not questioning. We're just coming at them and saying, this is what you think because other people like you have thought this. So we're just like putting these labels on people when we don't take the time to really say, well, what do you think? Like you said, trying to get to that root of what began the process of you choosing this way of thinking.
Right. And that's such a great kind of way to wrap up even this whole idea. Just ask people questions, learn from them. Philippians 2 has really changed my life because Paul says, value others above yourself, take on their interests, you know, humble yourself, take on the nature of a servant. What if you saw conversations as a way to humble yourself, serve others, and think, what is this person interested in? How can I help them and see them as a child of God and build a warm and loving connection? And once that happens, for me, it's so easy to talk about Jesus and to talk about my faith because it never feels like a sales pitch or an awkward pivot in the conversation.
That's
we already have a warm connection.
Yeah. You already have that established that you care about them. You're interested in them. You want to know them on a deeper level. And people respond to that.
That's right. But I will say the best thing I learned when I was researching this book was how to listen for core values. And it changed my life, listening to what people really care about. So, Donna, as I've listened to you, what I most respect about you is how much you love learning and developing in your life. And a lot of people don't have that same value. And so the research shows that naming that in you makes you feel honored and seen by me. And so if you do that with people, they feel more connected with you. So I'm learning to do that with colleagues and my children. Like and even my husband, as someone's talking, I'll say, you know, as you're talking, I can really tell you value adventure. And so much about your life is discovering adventure. And they'll say, oh my gosh, you're right. You're right. I do. And they feel close to me because I've acknowledged something that I see in them. And sometimes you can see something that someone didn't even value in themselves. Like, you know, I can tell you value efficiency, or wow, you really value your friendships. Just practice listening for what people value. And it will go such a long way in having a warm and loving connection.
You know, something, Heather, I see in you is wanting that truth to be told, that people have value, they have worth, and that you're going to speak that into their lives. They have a place at the table. They belong. They're not alone.
Wow. Donna, I can't believe you said that because my favorite book I ever wrote was Seated with Christ, about having a seat at the table. Oh. Yeah. That's a word from the Lord for me. No, I do.
Yeah.
They are seated. I was just looking at the, you know, the woes that Jesus says to the scribes, woe to you. Do you know that he says, woe to you, you like the seats of honor, you like being greeted in the marketplace, you like the fancy clothes. Well, Jesus seats us in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. He clothes us with righteousness and acknowledges us before the Father. So everything we're scrambling for, we already have. You're absolutely right. That's my life mission, to help people realize what they want, they already have in Christ.
I love that. That's where we're living these days. I stopped begging God for what I already have, and I've just begun to thank him and praise him for everything I have. And it's out of that fullness that actually I can stop thinking about Donna for 5 minutes and I can actually, you know, put a little brain power onto another person. And it's
yes.
freeing and it's enjoyable.
It is. It's so joyful. We're made for it. That's what the Surgeon
yes.
General report told us. We're killing ourselves because we're not investing deeply in rich relationships.
Mm. Well, Heather, thank you so much for being on Mark and Friends. Heather is the author of The Six Conversations, Pathways to Connecting Again in an Age of Isolation and Incivility. This is by Moody Publishers. Well, Heather, we can't wait for your next effort, and we're going to enjoy this one and just appreciate you sharing your heart with us.
Thank you so much, Donna. This has been a great conversation.
Talk to one another. We've got to learn to talk it out. We've got to know exactly what the other's about. But when we talk to one another, just like the Father gave us, we've got to learn to say.
I thought that'd be a good song to end our time here on Mark and Friends. Talk to One Another. Music from Brown Bannister, helping us get a few la-las in here on a Thursday. Donna Leland with Mark and Friends. I'm so grateful that you're able to join us here at Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Well, coming up tomorrow, it's a Friday. Pastor Jason is out of town, and so Mike Krasta is joining Mark, and they did the Bible study on Wednesday. You know, they tape it on a Wednesday, and then we get to hear it on a Friday. And they're discussing prayer and our kingdom identity. They're going to look at Genesis 12:1 and also Ephesians 2:19. It's a great Bible study, and you're always welcome to be a part of it as we air it on Mark and Friends. That's every Friday, 7:32 a.m. and p.m., and then 8:32 a.m. and p.m. for our great Indiana listeners. Here's something else that's coming up that they're going to touch on briefly. It's an event, Audience of One. This is coming together as one people to worship the Lord and pray for our city. It's being held at the Virginia Theater. This is in the Champaign Park District, and it's going to happen Saturday, November the 11th, and that's at 7 p.m. Different area churches coming together and celebrating what the Lord is doing in and through us in our area. Again, thanks so much for listening. Mark and Friends is a ministry of Great News Media and the WLUJ family of stations. Have a great day.